Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
He can't reproduce! He can't breathe! He's living a bad life! Every time you see Ugga, he's either A, getting pulled around by somebody looking mopey, or B, sitting on an icicle package because he's too fat. If he's not constantly air-conditioned, he'll have a heart attack!
You're listening to Talk Sports.
So every bulldog in the world should be exterminated. You on record with that? Let's kill off all the bulldogs.
If you want to make this a widespread crusade, we can make it. Dog breeding has gone too far. Stop buying from breeders. Adopt a pet today. I am pro pet adoption. Get your pets spayed and neutered. I will carry the fight of Bob Barker.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Essentially, if your dog is a little bit heavy set, John Reed is volunteering to kill it for you.
Did you know that bulldogs can't have sex by themselves? Did you know that? So if we don't...
It's a tiring task.
If we don't intervene, they will just cease to exist. Nature will take its course.
Here, buddy.
God doesn't want us to have these bulldogs.
You stand by your bulldog holocaust, and I will stay away from it.
On 1340 WKGN.
All I'm saying is it's fat, it can't breathe, it can't reproduce.
Should I be exterminated?
Can you reproduce?
You want to throw me in there?
Can you reproduce?
I'm fat and I can't breathe.
Can you reproduce?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll show you.
Hour two kicking off. Let's kick it off with some headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Maria Sharapova defeated defending champ Caroline Wozniacki last night in the Australian Open. Maria, moving on. She was not expected to win last night, and she won.
Okay.
The defending champion Caroline Wozniacki.
She was not expected to win, and she won.
Was defeated 6-4, 4-6, 6-3 in 2-plus hours on Friday as Sharapova reaches the fourth round at Melbourne Park, building her statement-making victory with aggressive ground strokes.
All right.
Which gave her a 37-10 edge in total winners.
Okay.
Significant because Maria Sharapova's not in her prime anymore, really. You know, she was once great, now not as great.
Yeah.
But the experience, the legend that is Maria Sharapova, still able to advance.
Okay.
In the Australian Open.
Yeah.
Nadal won as well.
As did Federer.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, there's not a sport that I could possibly care less about than tennis.
Really?
Really. It could be Nadal versus Federer in the Wimbledon final or whatever, and I would not watch a second of it.
I disagree. Like, if it's the big names and they are playing in the quarter, semi, or finals, I'll watch, usually. Or try to. Like, if it's the, like you said, they're in the Australian Open right now, so that's like a 2 a.m. tip-off, so, or tip-off, first
kick,
serve,
kick
whatever,
off.
Whatever the hell it's called.
They kick the tennis ball over.
Toss that. Off, the first toss, I don't know.
Serve.
I'll watch.
First serve.
I'll watch the big guys play, usually, or I'll try to. What's the sport I care least about? That's a good question.
It's got to be tennis. I mean, sports that are at least on the front page with head, like, obviously you could throw, like, cricket in there.
Mine's hockey.
Less than tennis?
Yeah, mine's
really?
Hockey. Really? No, I like soccer more than both.
Really?
Like, if the Preds are on a run in the playoffs, I'll try to watch it. I'll try to watch it, but otherwise, like, I'm not watching a second of any other hockey. I'm not watching 1 second of Capitals Las Vegas. Sorry. I'm sure it was a great finals. I didn't watch 1 second. Could not have cared less.
Really?
Yeah.
I even watched a little bit of that.
I think that's
and that's crazy.
I think that's got my first place for just no.
Playoff hockey's exciting, though. It's
I get that it's exciting. I just don't care. Like,
yeah.
Like, bull riding is fun. Some people don't care about it. I think it's exciting, but people couldn't care less. Like, there's sports that are exciting that just don't do anything for me. That's one of them.
Would you rather care about the Preds report?
I care about the Preds report.
Rawr.
Which, by the way,
we have
you owe
one
me
today.
A Preds report.
We have one today.
Would Remind you me to get to that at some point this hour.
Would you rather go to a PBR event over a hockey game?
Yeah, I would.
What about a Preds game?
PBR. I'd rather go to
really?
I'd rather go to a PBR event than a Preds game.
Wow.
I've been to a Preds game.
Didn't do anything for you?
It was too cold.
Well, you said you got too close to the ice.
I was too close to the ice, humble brag. Humble brag, I was too close to the ice and I had shorts on. I had shorts and a short sleeve t-shirt on. And I was like, this is way too cold. I was not prepared for this. I got to go. But even when I was there, I was like, yeah, this is okay. Now, granted, it was a regular season game. And this was probably 5 years ago before the Preds got awesome. But still, nope, they're my last place team. No offense to people who like hockey. I'm not saying I don't get it. I understand why you guys like it. I just don't like it.
Would you rather go to a Preds game or a Cincinnati Reds game?
Reds game. If the Reds were good.
Would you rather go to a Preds game?
If the Reds were good. I don't want to go watch them run out a AAA team. I don't want to watch that.
Would you rather go to a Preds game or go see North Carolina play Boston College in football?
Preds game.
Okay.
Preds game.
That's where we draw the line.
Yeah, Preds game.
You hate lower tier college football.
I do. It doesn't move
You're
the needle
not a Maction guy.
It does not move the needle for me.
Yeah. I've gotten to where I feel the same way.
Now, if you ask me Cincinnati versus, who was it? It was North Carolina versus Wake Forest, which, by the way, did you see that they're playing a non-conference game next year?
How does that work?
They're playing non-conference games the next 2 years. I don't know. They're on each other's non-conference schedule. We need to read into that to figure it out, but they are playing non-conference games, North Carolina and Wake Forest. If you ask me that versus two other hockey teams, not the Preds, probably pick that. Probably pick the college football over the non-Preds hockey. But shout out for your tennis update.
The Lakers won last night against the Thunder, 138-128. A big win for them.
It was a big win
for them. To go on the road and get the job done. Even though the Lakers' Michael Beasley briefly was held out of the game after he tried to sub in and he was wearing the wrong shorts.
How do you do that? That video is hilarious. Like he's just
looked down. He's like, oh. Okay.
He's wearing black Lakers shorts. Like, he's wearing practice shorts. And they're like, hey, you can't come into the game wearing those. And he had to run back to the locker room and put on his game shorts.
You would think he would have noticed before he left the locker room.
Well, I'm sure they had, like, pants on, right? The tearaway pants.
Yeah.
I'm sure they had tearaway pants on, so he wasn't looking down there. But, yeah, that's something that you should probably notice.
I mean, how do you not know? By the time you come out of the locker room and you get onto the court and you're like, oh, God, I'm not wearing gold shorts.
That's Michael Beasley, man.
Is he known for being a dumb guy?
Yeah. He loves the weed.
Oh, well, maybe he was high.
He loves the weed. He might have been high.
He may have been high.
One of the funniest sports moments ever. I tweeted out the GIF last night. It's Michael Beasley sitting on the bench next to Anthony Tolliver. And, you know, like sometimes you're sitting and you got your knees out, you kind of rub your legs a little bit, right? Well, Michael Beasley's trying to do that, except he rubs Anthony Tolliver's leg. And you can see Anthony Tolliver kind of like, what the hell's going on? And you see Beasley have a 100% genuine reaction saying, oh, I thought that was my knee. Sorry.
My bad. I was really high.
Immediately moved his hands back to his knees and rubs his knees. But, like, he was so high or just so out there that he was rubbing another guy's knee thinking it was his.
This guy sounds like he has a pretty low IQ. Either that or
he's... I'm not saying that. I will say that he's on record for liking the weed.
It's either that or he's just baked all the time.
I think that's probably... I mean, I don't know if the IQ's high. I'm not saying it is high. It might be. I'm just not making any snap judgments because I've never had a conversation with him. But I will say that the weed, that's been confirmed.
I don't know that I've ever been high enough to rub another guy's knee thinking it's mine.
Okay.
That seems like a different level of being spaced out there, you know? That's something.
Game of their heads.
How do you rub your knees?
That was a big win for the Lakers. They won in overtime, and Lonzo Ball got screwed a little bit at the end of the game on a foul call that let Russell Westbrook shoot three free throws to tie it. The NBA came out and said, hey, that was a mistake. He shouldn't have got to shoot free throws. We messed up. But the Lakers were still able to win in overtime, 138-128. Kyle Kuzma dropped 32 points. Lonzo Ball had a nice 18-point, 10-assist, 6-rebound night. And Zubac, off the bench, added 26 points. The Lakers are desperately trying to hold on to this 8 seed. They're desperately trying to hold on to this 8 seed while LeBron gets healthy. And that was a huge win last night. That was a huge win last night as Utah has, caught fire and they're right on their heels. There's not a real margin for error. for the Lakers right now, so every win matters, especially with that upcoming stretch they have. They really need LeBron back.
Well, they're going to get him back. I mean, he's only got, what, two more games he'll miss?
They better, I mean, the two games, if they get, if, you know, the two games, even with LeBron, they might lose these next two games at Houston, at Golden, or at Houston home for Golden State. But then getting back after that for Minnesota, Phoenix, and kind of get back on track.
If he comes back for Golden State, I think they'll beat the Warriors.
It'll be tough in his first game back. We'll see, though. He just started practicing earlier this week.
I feel like he'll be so fresh, though. Like a 100% LeBron.
We're currently on the longest streak for LeBron missing games. He's missed 12 straight games. The most prior was, I think, his first year of Cleveland when he missed 11. Any other headlines?
Yeah.
Shout out to my brother. He was in Oklahoma City yesterday, and he said he saw an NBA player at a restaurant.
Does he know who?
No, he didn't know who it was. But he said it was an NBA player because he was big, tall guy. They're easy to spot, you know. And he said a lot of people were crowding around him, like, taking pictures and stuff. So it's definitely an NBA player.
Sounds like your brother has the same amount of NBA knowledge as you do.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
something. Maybe we can get him on as a guest sometime on Talk Sports.
It's not something we followed a lot as kids.
Maybe we can get him on the show.
Yeah, maybe so. Moving on, Paxton.
Shout out to Dave McClure holding it down in Oklahoma City.
It's not Dave. Dave's a fictitious character. Dave McClure is not a real person. Well, I beg to differ. The Seahawks have signed Paxton Lynch as a backup option. They signed Paxton Lynch to a futures deal, giving the former first-round pick an opportunity to compete to be Russell Wilson's backup. He was drafted 26th overall out of Memphis by the Broncos in 2016, started four games, and was very disappointing.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say about Paxton Lynch. Whenever you're reading that story to me, the only thing that popped into my head was Chris Rock saying, "It's good to be white." And in Paxton Lynch's case, tall, too. I don't know what he's ever shown, even from a work ethic, that makes him hireable again in the NFL. Like, by all accounts, he's been a disaster at every level. Talent, attitude, work ethic. Like, I don't know why the Seahawks would sign him, although they don't have a backup quarterback, so I guess they need somebody.
Again, one of those big, tall, goofy white guys.
Yeah.
They're trying to fit the Peyton Manning mold, and not all those guys are Peyton Manning.
No. No, I would be shocked if Paxton Lynch ever takes a meaningful snap in the NFL and succeeds. Maybe Russell Wilson gets knocked out next year and he has to play a little bit. But, yeah, he sucks. He sucks. All right, let's talk Tennessee-Alabama next. Big game. Tennessee's We're Gonna Kick Your Ass Tour rolls on. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. The Drive. Russell Smith, Bear, and Brandon will be out at Corner 16 today for a remote from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Go by, enjoy some good food. If you want to enjoy a beer or two, go for it, and hang out and bother Bear.
I think I'll probably stop by.
Wow! Cody McClure will not be in the building, because when Cody McClure says he's probably going to do something, that means he's definitely not going to do something.
I told Bear I'd stop by.
That doesn't matter. My bet is on Cody McClure not being at Corner 16 today. Any takers? Anybody want to bet on McClure?
Yet again, an unfair label. I told you yesterday I'd probably be at the laser tag event, and I was there.
You told me you would be there. You didn't say probably. You said, yeah, I'll come.
So you're saying when I say probably, I don't show up?
Right. If you tell me you're going to be there, I trust you to be there. You don't tell me you're going to do something, then not do it. But you usually don't tell me you're not going to do something. Like,
right.
We've watched, what, three games at Hobbs and Hollers this year for basketball, and every Friday you're like, yeah, I'll probably be there. How many times has Cody McClure shown up to Hobbs and Hollers to watch Tennessee basketball this year? Cero. That's Spanish.
Cero. Zero.
I'll bet on Cody going to Corner 16.
He won't be there. Now, he might go out of spite
today. I like
today.
Restaurants. You know I'm a big restaurant guy.
He might go out of spite today. That's his tell. If Cody says probably, same as Bear. Same as Bear. If Bear says, yeah, I'll most likely come, and Bear goes home, Bear's not coming back out. Yesterday was the rare exception, and he only came because Cody went to laser tag. That's it.
The thing with Hops is they've all been on a Saturday. So
very easy day to go.
Well, not for me. Saturdays are always tough for me.
Okay.
Because I'm usually asleep.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing you haven't been there, whatever. I'm just saying I've known that you aren't coming because you say, yeah, I'll probably come by.
I feel like I've said probably to some things, and I've definitely showed up.
Okay. I'm telling you haven't, but I guess we can't prove this with certainty.
Are we going to be at Hops tomorrow for the Alabama game?
Not officially, but I might swing by there unofficially, and if you should go anyway, like you should always go watch the game there. I don't know.
I love, yeah.
I'm not 100% committing there. It's more of my road destination because that's just kind of the way we've got it set up. But yeah, they show all the home games. I might swing by. I'm not going to promise people I'll be there and not show up, but there's a 70% chance I'll be there. And if not, again, you should go there. You, Cody McClure.
What if I go and you're not there?
Well, if you go and text me, say, hey, I'm going, I'll show up.
Hey, I'm at Hops.
Then I'll be there.
I do love Hops.
I'm only like 5 minutes away, and I only got like 2 more weeks of being 5 minutes away, so I'll take advantage of it. If you want to meet up to watch there, me and you can meet up to watch there.
I might.
I know what that means. But you, the listeners, if you're looking for a place to watch the game, you should always watch it at Hops.
They're going to show it. I'll promise you that much.
They will have it on the big screen, and it's been a great atmosphere for all the games. People are really in on this Tennessee team. How many teams do you think Tennessee has a losing record to since 1950?
In hoops, since 1950?
No, in football. We're going to talk. Let's talk some Tennessee football right quick. Let's talk about the Tennessee-Alabama football.
You don't have to be a jerk, okay? I like to set it up and clarify it in my head and think of all the things.
And I like to distract you by yelling at you.
So I'm like, okay, so hoops. Really, it's me thinking out loud.
Sure.
So, all right, so basketball.
Since 1950.
How many teams do we have a losing record against in the SEC. Southeastern Conference?
In the SEC.
Which is the Southeastern Conference.
Sure.
That's going to be Alabama, Kentucky. And Ben Lee confidently tells me that's it.
That's it.
Thank you, Ben.
Kentucky, obviously, you have a losing record against. And Alabama, you are 45-59.
That's weird.
You are 45-59. Here's the even like the weirder part is like when Tennessee is good and Alabama's not good, Tennessee still struggles. There have been 15 times that Tennessee's came into this game ranked, and Alabama's been unranked. And even in those games, Tennessee's only 8-7. Even in those games, they're only 8-7. And four of those have been when Tennessee has been a top 10 team.
Whoa, I just had a revelation. I was today years old when I realized that tomorrow is the third Saturday in January. I don't think they always set it up that way, but that could be a name for the rivalry. It is the third Saturday in January. Hasn't always gone well for us.
So on the third Saturday in January, please credit Cody McClure whenever you use that phrase.
Please.
Tennessee is going to look to try to beat a team that they haven't had a lot of success against. And they're going to try to avenge an ass-kicking from last year. Like, if you need further proof that Tennessee just has a weird relationship with Alabama in basketball, last year Tennessee beats Kentucky at Rupp, turns around, heads to Alabama, gets beat by 28 points. Gets dominated, 78-50. Looked awful. That's the worst Tennessee's looked. In the last 2 years, by far.
That was at a time when Alabama had Colin Sexton and Tennessee was not the nation's best team.
Both of those are factually correct.
Going to be a big difference on Saturday. Different game. A big different game.
A bit different and a big difference.
A big different game Saturday. That Alabama team has no shot at coming in here and beating us.
I mean, I would say that's the worst Tennessee's looked in the last 2 years. Pretty comfortably. Like, I don't even know what else would come to mind. Obviously, nothing this year. And, yeah, that last year, that was an embarrassing loss. Maybe that might be Rick Barnes' worst game at Tennessee.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, weren't we winning? Like, we were in the middle of a win streak, and that one kind of came out of nowhere, didn't it? Because it was a bit later in the season, and things were going well for us, and then we just got spanked by Alabama, and we all kind of had to twist our heads back around.
Yeah, you had reeled off, let me count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, damn it, I can't count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wins in a row, and 9 of 10.
Right.
You're 9 and 1 in your last 10 games, including sweeping Kentucky. And then, yeah, just came in and got absolutely blitzed at Alabama.
Came out of nowhere.
Got absolutely dominated. Tennessee hasn't had a lot of luck with Alabama over the years. And it, like I said, they are 8-7 when they're ranked and Alabama's unranked. And they've lost 4 games when Tennessee's been a top 10 team. And Alabama's been unranked. So it's not just like Alabama's been better than them. Even in situations when Tennessee is clearly better than them, Tennessee's struggled.
I talked to Rick Barnes this morning. I was having my breakfast. I called him up, and he told me to let you know that he doesn't give a damn about the whole state of Alabama.
Did you happen to ask him about Andy Kennedy joining his staff? That news you broke last year?
I did. He confirmed that Andy Kennedy would not be joining the staff.
Okay.
And I did not break any news. I said I saw him having dinner together, and that was a fact. I didn't say that meant he was joining the staff.
I'm 90% sure you took a step out and said that Andy Kennedy was joining Rick Barnes' staff. After that.
No, I said, you know, maybe that would be interesting.
I'd find that interesting.
I found this interesting. Maria Sharapova won yesterday.
Alabama doesn't have the elite talent like Colin Sexton this year. Now, that might be a no-duh statement, but, you know, Colin Sexton was obviously the engine for Alabama last year. Colin Sexton was sometimes he looked like the best player in the country. He always looked like a top 10 draft pick. He was really good.
I was a big Colin Sexton fan.
Me too. And he single-handedly put them on his back to get them in the NCAA tournament. Remember, like in the SEC tournament, he took over late in that. You know, I think they won 3 straight to get in.
I enjoyed watching him outshine Trae Young.
Yeah.
When they played.
Yeah. Well, now I have to be a Trae Young fan. But I liked Trae Young in college too, but it's neither here nor there, I guess.
You could just give up on the Hawks.
I'm a loyal guy. I don't change teams. I don't have 5 favorite NFL teams. I don't just pick.
I don't either. I have 2.
I don't just pick the flavor of the month. I'm a pretty loyal fan. And I have to have the team be the closest to me. I have to be able to easily drive to go watch my guys play. Okay? They all have to regionally make sense. I'm not giving up on the Hawks. The Hawks' future, much brighter than the Grizzlies' future. Okay? I don't know if you've noticed what's happened to the Grizzlies. They're like 2-18 in their last 20 games. And that's a rough estimate, but I'm pretty sure it's not that far off.
Are you going to hit that total? Didn't you bet on the Grizzlies?
On the Grizzlies total? It's not a loss because it was only 33.5. But let me tell you, when the Grizzlies were like 18-5, I felt a lot better about it.
Sweating it a little more now.
I've pretty much realized that it's most likely not going to happen now. Because I think the Grizzlies are 1 or 2 more losses from trying to blow it all the way up and just completely tank. So, no, that
Well, they tried that last year, and they kept winning.
Well, they still got Jaren Jackson Jr., who's been a stud. So they still ended up with a good rookie. They do have a good building piece. And they have to be inside the top, I believe, 5, maybe top 7, to keep their first-round pick. So, yeah, they're going to try to do that. At a certain point. So, no, I'm really worried about this over 33.5. Thank you for reminding me.
You brought him up.
I did bring him up. You are correct.
Big game tomorrow.
We'll get into why Alabama does well. I do think Tennessee is going to, you know, be a... The spread hasn't come out yet, right? I haven't seen the spread on this. I think Tennessee is going to be around a... Similar favor that like they were against Arkansas. I'd say 14 points, 15 points, somewhere around there. When the spread comes out, I think Tennessee is going to be a, a pretty heavy favorite, as most top five teams at home are, especially against unranked opponents, especially with the way Tennessee's been beating everyone down this year.
Yeah, we beat the hell out of Arkansas.
This is the we're going to beat your ass tour.
I sure am enjoying it.
Alabama steps into Knoxville tomorrow.
You're next.
You're next. Dun, 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 dun. No,
that's dun, dun, dun,
yeah, that was the
dun.
Game of Thrones music. There you go. Do the Goldberg music.
You don't
music
have to spoil it. Dun, 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 dun.
Is that the Goldberg music?
Yes, that's Goldberg's music.
Dum, dum,
dum. Dun, dun.
Da-na-na.
Da-na-na. No, that's Game of Thrones.
No, that's the Goldberg. Goldberg.
Goldberg.
I think I was doing it right, and then you stopped.
Da-da-da.
You're next. Alabama's built a little bit like Arkansas, right? With Gafford, Donta Hall is their version of Gafford. Gafford leads the SEC in dunks. Hall is second. Hall's not very good when it comes to doing things outside of dunking. So if Tennessee can keep him from doing that, they will really slow down Alabama's best player. When he doesn't dunk, he's not very useful. He's had 20 post-up shots this year, and he's 6 for 20. That's not good. That's 30%. That's not good. Alabama on offense is going to do one thing really poor. One thing really poorly. And Tennessee can take advantage of that, especially if Tennessee comes out early and pressures the ball. Alabama will turn it over for you. They rank 253rd in turnover efficiency, right? So Alabama's going to give you the ball and give Tennessee opportunities to get out in transition, which is something that Tennessee does really well. Much like Arkansas, Alabama stinks at shooting the basketball inside of three-point range. Like, three-point range, they're okay. Mid-range, Alabama ranks terribly. They're 297th. They're not good at it. If Tennessee can force the most invaluable shot in basketball to be what Alabama does tomorrow, Tennessee's going to blow this team out too. Tennessee's going to blow this team out too. However, unlike Arkansas, Alabama is effective around the rim. Now, a lot of that is Hall and his dunking ability, but these other guys can finish around the rim too, where Arkansas couldn't, right? Like the last two games, Tennessee's played teams that weren't that good around the rim in Florida and Arkansas. They're playing a team that's a little bit better at that when it comes to Alabama.
What do you try to do if you're Alabama?
You're trying to get to the rim, I think.
In defending Tennessee.
Oh, okay, so on defense?
Well, I mean, offensively, you're trying to get to the rim.
Yeah.
But defensively, how do you stop Tennessee? Because that's something that, you know, we've given the bigs from most teams problems.
Mm-hmm.
Getting them in foul trouble. Grant Williams is so good at that. It's one of my favorite things about his game.
Yeah, I mean, Grant Williams scored, what, 18 points last game and mm-hmm. and had, was it two field goals?
Gafford ended up fouling out for Arkansas.
He was a little bit of a James Harden. He had a little bit of a James Harden game. I believe he had two field goals and 18 points because he was 14 of 14 from the free throw line. Now, what Alabama's going to do offensively is, of course, Avery Johnson, who debate whether or not he's a good coach. I don't know. He's had moments where he's looked good and he's had moments where he's looked awful. But they do kind of run an NBA type of offense when it comes to the pick and roll, right? Like, the pick and roll is big in the NBA. Alabama does that here at the college level. Almost a third of their possessions are just pick and roll.
Makes sense. They got an NBA coach.
But they don't have an NBA point guard this year, right? So the pick and roll with Colin Sexton was deadly because Colin Sexton could kill you. Alabama's guards right now do not do that, which is why they rank so bad in turnover rate.
They simply are not good enough.
No, they're not.
Colin Sexton was a first-round NBA talent, and they don't have that on this team.
So what I tell you that Tennessee was going to have opportunities to do, not to test you, this isn't like a test, but remember I said they turn the ball over a lot, right? Like Alabama's going to give you the ball, and you know what they do terrible?
Finish at the rim.
Well, they also do that, but we're getting to the defense part now. We're moving on a little bit. Alabama sucks at transition defense. Like Tennessee should be able to get 30, 35, 40 points just from fast breaks.
Jordan Bone will steal your balls and put them in the net at the other end.
Or dish it off to Admiral, who will dunk on your head.
That's right.
One of the two. One of two. I expect Tennessee to shoot a lot of free throws tomorrow. Alabama fouls a lot, especially in their transition situations. Look for a lot of and ones. Look for a lot of people on the stripe. Maybe not going to be the most visually appealing game. Alabama's going to ugly it up a bit.
Try to do like Konzo ball?
No, it's just that they just foul a lot. I don't know if they're trying to grind you out. They just foul a lot.
They're not going to try to limit possessions like Konzo.
No, you can't try to limit possessions when you're 250th in turnover efficiency.
Yeah, that just makes no sense. You're hurting yourself.
You obviously don't value the basketball whenever you're turning it over a lot. To be successful at Konzo ball or, you know, the grind it out, you have to really place a premium on possessions. And no, Alabama does not do that.
Alabama gives up 76 points a game.
Is that the number?
Something like that.
Well, they're 300th in transition defense in terms of allowing points on possession. So they're giving up points. They're going to give Tennessee a lot of easy looks. I do think this is going to be another high scoring output from Tennessee. You said that Alabama's defense gives up 76 points. I would think Tennessee would be in the 85-point range at least. I think Tennessee will exceed that because, of course, in college basketball, before you get into conference play, most of your games are against inferior opponents, and most of them are at home.
And we're averaging even more in conference play.
Like, yeah.
This is going to be one of those games where we put up about 95.
Yeah.
Bama scores about 75.
This is another – like I said, this team looks a lot like Arkansas to me. They can't play transition ball. Neither could Arkansas. You know what else they can't do? They can't predict it. They can't protect at the rim. Neither could Arkansas. Alabama's 250th in the country at rim defense. So this is another game where Grant should feast. Kyle should feast. Fast breaks should be open the entire game. This looks like a blowout on paper. Now, I know I told you that Tennessee struggles with Alabama, right? Even when they're top 10 in the country, they've found a way to lose. But I don't think this is the same type of Tennessee team. This isn't even the undersized, scrappy, relying on hustle Tennessee teams of the Bruce Pearl days.
No, this is the best team we've ever had.
Because as great as Bruce Pearl's teams were, like they were usually still undersized, right?
And they tended to be inconsistent.
Right, because they relied on heavily on pressing you and turning you over, and they relied on stuff like that that doesn't necessarily travel. This Tennessee team has been much, much more well-rounded
They are fundamentally better.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're a better basketball team. They're a better constructed basketball team. I don't think it's really possible to argue that at this point, that Tennessee is a better constructed basketball team. They have pieces that fit better. They have bench guys who can come in at every position. They are a better, deeper basketball team. But what I was going to say is even when Bruce Pearl was great, he went 4-3 against Alabama.
Yeah. I would rather have Chris Lofton than I would anybody on our team right now, but I'd rather have this team over any team that Bruce had.
Man, I don't think I even agree with that anymore.
You love these guys individually more than Lofton.
I mean, maybe that's recency bias. Maybe that's me not remembering just how great Lofton was 10 years ago or 13 years ago at this point. But remember in the offseason when the Basketball Time in Tennessee mag came out and they had the Ernie and Bernie shot?
Mm-hmm.
And I made the case that this is the best duo, the most beloved duo since then.
I agree.
People tried to run out with Lofton and Juwan Smith or whoever, and I was like, no, man, these two guys they got at the top are – are better basketball players. Now, Lofton's a better scorer. I think both of these guys play more defense and play a better, well-rounded, more well-rounded basketball game.
Yeah. I'm at the point where I'd take this team over any Pearl team, and I would take the duo of Admiral and Grant over Lofton and Juwan. But if it's one player, I'm still taking Lofton.
Maybe you're right, and I would say a lot of people agree with you. I'm telling you that I don't anymore.
Yeah, well, a lot of people probably agree with that.
Well, we can't have a lot of people agreeing with both of us.
Yeah, we can. It could be 50% and 50%.
Is that considered a lot, I guess?
Depends on how many people are hearing this.
That's a good point.
So I'd say at least several thousand.
Sure. Sure. But I do think you at least have to yield the point that this is the best duo Tennessee's had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was something some people tried to argue with before the season. I don't think you can really argue it anymore.
No, I mean, Lofton and Juwan, like, the thing those teams had, we had great memories with them, but you got to come around on these guys now if you haven't already, because they're both National Player of the Year candidates.
Yeah.
Admiral Schofield or Grant Williams could win the Naismith Award.
Sure.
Either one of them.
Like, I would say they're both in contention. I would say they're also two of the top 10 candidates at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. They lead the SEC in scoring. One of them is one, the other one's two.
Is that true?
I can't remember which one is which.
That's accurate.
Yeah, yeah, that's Grant's first, apparently, according to Ben Lee.
Okay. Yeah,
they lead the SEC in scoring points per game.
I didn't realize that they were one and two.
They are. It's a fact.
Alabama does do well at keeping teams from shooting three. That's where they differ from Arkansas. If you remember Arkansas, they gave up a lot of catch and shoot threes. Alabama doesn't do that. So Tennessee is going to have to get at the rim and take easy buckets in transition, because they're not going to be able to start the game, you know, have Bowden and Turner go 8 for 8 from three and really help blow the doors open. It's going to be tougher to do that against Alabama, who ranks 21st nationally.
Well, part of that is because Arkansas tried to seal the paint, right? They tried to keep us from going inside. So we had more open threes.
I also think Arkansas is just bad at defense.
Yeah, they were.
Like, even when Arkansas is like, Arkansas just isn't good at defense in terms of trying to even stop threes. Alabama does do that. Like I said, they rank 21st nationally at allowing opponents to shoot only 32% of their shots from three. So they're not letting you shoot many of them. Now, you can hit them. You can hit them if you're there. They do allow 43% of them to be open catch-and-shoot threes. Arkansas is like, what, 49%? Were they 49% or 47%? It was somewhere around there. Like, Alabama's a little bit better, but not much. It's just that they're trying to limit your overall number of threes. So Tennessee might still have some open looks. They might still hit at a big percentage. It's just not going to be able to be one of their major game plans. So the game plan of Arkansas really could just be carried over to Alabama, is what I see here. As much as it felt like the road trip last week, remember you had to go to Missouri, to Gainesville, and you're like, man, that might be the second and third worst road trips of the year in terms of travel. Only trailing Texas A&M, how awful that was. I do think Tennessee got a really good setup in terms of playing two pretty similar teams back-to-back. Just roll over the same type of game plan. Roll over the same type of game plan. 865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in. Let's catch a break. We'll come back. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. This projects to be a Tennessee blowout. We'll see. If you believe in the curses of certain series, think Tennessee, Florida football. This is kind of inexplicably Tennessee's football with Florida matchup. Alabama and basketball somehow mirrors that. They somehow mirror that. Alabama is a good rebounding team. So Tennessee will have to limit Alabama on the glass and take advantage of their easy opportunities. They're not going to get a second look most of the time. Alabama is a top 50 rebounding team, both on offense and defense. That's where they really differ from Arkansas. Arkansas was giving up rebounds. Tennessee was taking advantage of it. Alabama is bigger, longer, and able to keep teams off the glass. Y'all right over there?
Yeah, I've been hearing Bear talking about this chair, and I hadn't experienced the issues with it yet. But
until just then?
Yeah, it plopped on me.
I really hope you're not the one who falls out of it.
I feel like Trey's been pretty aggressive in it.
Yeah.
Because the chair was fine until Trey came along.
I really hope it's not you who goes down in it and has to live with that video on the internet. Because, you know, we are streaming video for everything.
Oh, yeah, that would live forever.
I hope it's not you.
I don't think it'll be me. I take it pretty easy.
It just was about you, though.
Well, I'm the heaviest, but I'm typically gentle in the chair. Bear tries to lean back a lot, and I know Trey, it's like a better mattress for Trey.
Don't talk about Ben's co-host like that.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Ben did betray us yesterday and did 2 hours of It's Optional.
I'm a little worried.
Spreading his wings a little bit. Let's clip him back. Let's put him
back
in the cage.
How's it betrayal? I'm you know, I was straightforward.
You weren't straightforward. I left. I had to go do something. I had to go do something immediately after the show. I leave. I go get lunch. I go handle business like I do. I come back, and Ben Lee's got his feet propped up on the table right here in front of the microphone during an interview. You weren't straightforward. I came in. I caught you right in bed with another man.
Hold on. You said...
I said, let's hear the explanation.
We had an interaction after the show. You said, are you going to help them get on air? I said, yep. I said, I'm going to help the It's Optional boys today.
Yes. That is accurate, but that is where the half-truth is a lie. That is where when your girlfriend tells you that if you don't tell the whole truth, you're actually lying. Because, yes, you helped them get on air because their producer, Brandon, was running a little bit late. He got caught at the train near the station. You're the best producer at the station, according to yourself and many others these days. Many others.
Many your stock, people are saying others. This.
Your stock is rising. You said, hot. Yes, I'm going to help them get on the air, which I thought meant you're going to get the show started, get the ads playing, get the intro playing, get the mics on, and then Brandon's coming in, and you're leaving since they are on the air. So you're going with a little bit of semantics here.
I said I was going to help them out today.
Get on the air.
I heard Trey, too, buttering him up. Did you hear what Trey was saying? I listened to the show. I listened to the whole performance, and Ben did a fine job.
Many people are saying this.
But I appreciate
that. But Trey was buttering him up. Trey was saying, oh, it's okay, Ben. He said, telling the audience, if you want to call in and talk to Ben Lee, go ahead. We'll let you talk to Ben Lee on this show.
Wow.
As if to say the other show that Ben Lee happens to be on.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, little,
I wasn't
little,
on
little
board. I wasn't on
Trey.
Board with the cheap shots. You know, I told him no.
That's what Trey said. He said we'll let you talk to Ben Lee on this show.
I said I talked to plenty of people on Talk Sports. I even referenced our boy Will Warren talking about peaking too early the other day. I said you can go listen to the podcast on Fox Sports Knoxville Talk Sports.
I'm not mad at you. I know you held it down. I know you held it down, Ben Lee. I was more mad at the shot of saying you don't get to talk. You get to talk plenty. Even though yesterday was when Ben Lee was at his most vulnerable, right? Like we had a big fight here in hour one. Ben slung his microphone while also turning the stream off, hurting the audience while he was mad.
No coincidence, he's
over there under his breath saying, it's just a two-man show anyway. And you did hear him say that, basically talking about me and you.
Mm-hmm.
He was at his most vulnerable, and he stepped out on us.
And he just happened to co-host It's Optional on the same day.
He happened to step out on us.
I happened to bring up an entire show.
But he came back. He got out. He went to the bar. He was hurt from our relationship, and he went out to the bar, and he had a chance to cheat.
And he did.
But he didn't. He just flirted a little bit, and then he came back home, and everything's okay.
I just put the station on my shoulders yesterday and carried two shows, but...
Okay, let's slow down. You carried one show, and it wasn't your show. It was the other show. You didn't carry this show.
Trey also did.
You tried to sabotage this show. You took us off the stream.
Trey also did try to butter me up by calling the show Benley and Me at one point.
Mm-hmm. I know what he was up to. I did hear that part.
I heard all about it.
Well, here's your chance to shine on Talk Sports. Here's your chance to shine on Talk Sports. Let's go with a Preds report.
All right. Tuesday night, the Preds were in action against the Washington Capitals.
Tuesday night?
And they put on an absolute rout, winning 7-2. It went very well.
Well, hold on a second. Tuesday night? It's Friday.
What happened last night?
Victor Arvidsson had a hat trick as he led the team. He could have beaten the Washington Capitals by himself. It was as they only scored two goals.
Wait a second. You're giving me a 7-2 score from Tuesday.
That was a big win over the Caps.
It was.
Defending champions.
It was also on Tuesday.
I believe they played yesterday.
Of course, today. And the music, too. You gotta have the music again, I guess, twice.
I love it.
The Nashville Predators took on the Winnipeg Jets last night. It did not go very well as they lost 5-1.
Wow.
Talk about a swing of emotions, I guess.
Yeah, the Jets knocked them out last year.
And then made a statement on their heads.
The Predators have fallen out of first place in the central standings. They are now in second at 28-17-6.
Where are they at in the overall West? Do you know that off
the overall West?
What would be their playoff seed? I guess they don't really do that, do they?
It looks like they would be third in the West.
Okay, I guess the only thing would be the President's Cup. Do they give out stuff for finishing first in the West? I guess you could be the one seed, although it's kind of weird and high. I don't know. Okay, so they're third in the West right now?
Yeah. Behind Winnipeg and whatever CGY is, the Flames.
Calgary.
Everyone knows that.
The same record as the Sharks and Vegas. So really they're tied for third with the best record.
How long until the playoffs? April? Is that when the playoffs start? April?
Mm-hmm.
Got a couple more months in the regular season, then the playoffs. Our friends at Hops and Hollers is a Preds-approved bar. If you're looking for a place to watch the Preds, go by and check out Hops and Hollers. They are the sponsor of the Preds Report, unofficially.
I mean, if you're a big Preds fan, do you take a 7-2 beatdown over the Stanley Cup champions if you got to give up a 5-1 loss to the Jets?
I'd say no, because the Jets are more of your rival right now in the West.
I mean, to beat the Caps, the defending champs, that's pretty nice. 7-2, you know.
Yeah, but then to turn around and not even really be in a game with Winnipeg, and it was 3-1 in the second period.
Yeah, I guess you don't take that trade off.
Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. We got Alan Bell coming up to talk more NFL in hour three, and we'll kick it off with headlines.